Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the wealth that will belong to me.' So he divided his assets between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant region. And there he squandered his wealth with dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that region, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that region, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your assets with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.' This is the word of God for the people of God."
Thanks be to God.
Happy Baba's Day! Hey, I sincerely wish this Happy Papa's Day to all those out there, here, on the YouTube sphere, everywhere, that have shared Papa's love with others. But can I acknowledge the weirdness of a day like this? Is that okay? Really? Is that okay? Okay. Well, let me just kind of spell it out. In the midst of all the celebration for both Papa's Day and Mama's Day, we've got to acknowledge that this is a very emotional kind of day, right? Because, you know, there are those of us that, in our life experience, we might not have had a good father. Or we mourn on this day because we don't have a good father with us. Good father is with God right now. Hey, I'm one of those. My father has been with God now for 23 years. Isn't that something? But even acknowledging the weirdness, can we not celebrate that this is a day that we can lift up all of those people in our lives, not just our biological fathers, but all those people in our lives that have shared a Papa's love with us? Let's give God the glory for our good Papas. Now, when I come to Papa's Day, you know, it is a day where I kind of look at myself and kind of go, man, have I been a good papa all these years? You know, from 1982, let's take a look up there, guys. Back in the day, all the way to 2022. And I share these pics with you for all of you out there, all of you parents out there, just to lift up, hey, this can happen. Your kids will grow up and they will be healthy, well-adjusted adults just like we are. This is a day, though, that I also remember my pop. Go ahead and show that one. Yeah, Richard Roy Shelton. His friends knew him as Dick Shelton. To my mom here, she was known as his Rishi Roy. And I remember my dad fondly. I also remember that we didn't always get along. Sometimes the conflicts could even get a little physical. But you know, I love my dad. I knew that he loved me. And boy, over the years, I've really gotten to know that I was blessed with a good father. But I also know that in the midst of remembering him, that it's one of those things that I try to think about myself. It's like, can I be as good a father as I remember him being? Because one thing that both my papa and my mama, my mom and dad, were to our family is they were a home port. They were a home port for us. No matter where we moved to as we grew up and as we moved out of the house, from across town in Springfield, Missouri, all the way up to Minneapolis, Minnesota, all the way down south to Austin, Texas, every time that we came home, they were our home port. They say you can't go home again, but I don't think that's true. At least when it came to our parents, when during summer times, especially at Christmas, we knew home when we came and we hung out with our parents, especially my father. A good father is one who loves unconditionally, or at least tries to, right? Doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter where you've been, it doesn't matter what you've done. It's not easy at all to love unconditionally. But that's the love that God loves. And that's the love that Jesus challenges us to share every day. Alice shared with you a parable just a few moments ago that's all about God's love. And you know that parable, in your Bibles, probably you see a heading that says the prodigal son. If I was to write the headings in your Bibles, I would say this is the parable of the father of the lost. Because it is about a father of two sons, and you know well, both of them were lost. So let's get into this story a little bit. Now, it's important to know that this story that we heard Alice share, that Jesus shares, is not told in a vacuum. Jesus has a large entourage around him, a large crowd. In fact, all of the tax collectors are always singled out. All of the tax collectors and all of the sinners have come to them. I love how Luke puts that in there. There ain't no saints that are listening to this parable. Oh, Jesus does have some opponents, the Pharisees and the scribes. And they probably think that, you know, they're not counted among those sinners. In fact, they're angry and beside themselves that Jesus is hanging out with these sinners. How ironic that they don't know that they're sinners themselves. Or, you know, maybe they do. Maybe they do. But they're not as bad as those other sinners. And now, today, we're all a part of that crowd too. Amen? So Jesus starts out, and this entourage, these sinners, these tax collectors, these Pharisees, these scribes, all of us, he shares a couple of stories about lost things. There's a sheep out of a flock of 100 that nibbles itself lost in a pasture. And the shepherd that goes out, takes a risk and goes out and searches for that one sheep and finds it. And there's a celebration. There's a silver coin that falls out of a purse, out of a set of 10. One silver coin that drops to the ground, rolls around and gets lost in the dust of a home. And a woman that turns her house upside down, searching for that one silver coin, and she finds it. And there is a celebration. And all of the tax collectors and all of the sinners, well, their hearts are on fire, and they find hope when they listen to it. All those tax collectors and all those sinners and all of us that are feeling lost, well, we feel hope when we hear about this lost sheep and this lost coin, because here is the love that's expressed by God, that there's more joy in heaven when one sinner repents, when one sinner turns their life to God. But the Pharisees and the scribes, I think they're probably a little annoyed. Jesus is talking about those sinners again. Maybe they're just bored. And then Jesus shares a story of a father and two sons. And now everybody leans in on this story. And for unknown reasons, motivation, we began with the younger son who does something really hurtful. He tells his father to drop dead. But you didn't hear that? You didn't hear that in the words that Alice shared with us? He did. Because this is the way it is. Father has all this property, and the goodwill of the father and all the property will soon belong to the sons, to the elder son and to the younger son, when that father is dead. But the younger son comes up to him and says, I want what's coming to me, and I want it right now. Drop dead, Dad. Not only does he get his inheritance, but then he up and moves out. And not only does he up and move out, but he moves far away, because he's no longer part of this family, at least in his heart. He's far away from the brother that he should be helping with all the work of the farm. He's far away from his mother who's weeping in the kitchen and worried about her young son, and far away from his father who has a big hole in his heart. Now, we know it doesn't work out for that younger son, right? But that doesn't take away the hurt that younger son has already done. It's tremendous. The younger son loses all his money and then decides, oh, I better get a job. And he goes out, but it's a wrong time to get a job. It's a famine, and there's not much work going on because there's not much to do. And so he gets a job, but it's a really bad job, and he doesn't even make enough to eat on. He is starving. He is poor. And finally, he hits bottom. Or as the scripture says, he came to his senses, and he decides, it's better if I go back and I work for my father, because I'm not his son anymore. I can't be his son anymore. I've burned that bridge, but I will work for him because his ranch hands are better off than I am. And so this younger son, he puts together a speech. He really tries to put together the speech that he knows that he hopes will make everything right when he encounters his father. So he starts on his way. And then here's a really shameful, embarrassing part of the story. As the son makes it to the property, as he's coming up the driveway, his father sees him, and then he runs to him full force, naked. What, you didn't hear that in the scripture either? Well, that father had to lift up his robe to run, exposing his naked skin so that he could run. He was naked in the eyes of everyone that was there, and he ran to his younger son, and he embraced him. And his younger son begins to give his speech that he's practiced over and over as he's traveled there. And the father doesn't care. He just looks at him and says, Oh, you're back. Let's celebrate. And then as the younger son is standing there in shock of his good fortune, then the father says, look, everyone, my son who was dead, he's back alive. He was lost, but now look, he's found. And all those tax collectors and all those sinners listening in, and all of us who knows what it means to run away from God and have felt lost before, we celebrate that we have a God who loves us so much that no matter what we've done, no matter what terrible things we've done, no matter how much we've broken our relationship with God, that God welcomes us back. And we are loved. But wait, there's more. The party begins, and as it goes on and on, the older son has been out in the fields working, and he's coming back to the house, and as he comes back to the house, he notices that lamps are lit. He hears music and he hears laughter, and there's this aroma in the air. Barbecue fatted calf. And he's thinking to himself, what is going on? So he grabs hold of one of the ranch hands and he goes, what's going on here? And then he learns that there's a party going on, and it's because of his brother that has come back. But you know, it's not his brother anymore, because that brother left. And so the older son is filled with anger. Pharisees and the scribes are leaning in to hear what's going on here. So soon the father comes out, and the father isn't stupid. The father comes out and he sees his older son standing out there like this. And he sees his older son's face, and he comes up to him and he pleads with him. Another shameful thing, but it's worth it to the father. He pleads with him to come in and celebrate. And the older son has had it, and he explodes. I have done everything for you, Dad. I have worked hard for you, Dad. I have obeyed you in everything, Dad. You never gave me a party, and I deserve it. And this son of yours, not my brother, this son of yours has wasted his life having sex with prostitutes. I'm not coming in. And all the Pharisees and all the scribes are, and all of us that have felt that we've worked our way to God's love and feel like we deserve it, we're kind of going, right on, bub. But that's when the Father looks the older son in the eyes and says, Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. But we have to celebrate because you have something else now. Your brother is back from the dead. Your lost brother has been found. Let's go celebrate. And all the Pharisees and all the scribes and all the tax collectors and all the sinners and all of us are going, is this how it ends? What's going to happen next? Is the older son's heart going to break open? And he's going to go in and he's going to celebrate with the father and with the rest of the family. And is he going to embrace his younger brother that was dead and is now alive, was lost and found? Or is his heart going to harden? And he's never going to go in. And he'll be lost as well. Whatever the decision, the invitation was made. The invitation was made to celebrate because all that God has is ours. And we are always with God. This is the love of the good, good Father. Friends, I hope on this Father's Day you are inspired by just how the Father of the lost has such a powerful love for all of us. It's inspired many. And as we close, I just want to share a few lyrics with you from George Strait. It came to my heart. Goes something like this. I got sent home from school one day with a shiner on my eye. Fighting was against the rules and it didn't matter why. When Dad got home, I told that story just like I'd rehearsed. Then stood there on those trembling knees and waiting for the worst. And he said, let me tell you a secret about a father's love. A secret that my daddy said that was just between us. He said, daddies don't just love their children every now and then. It's a love without end. Amen. And when I became a father in the spring of 81, there was no doubt that stubborn boy was just like my father's son. And when I thought my patience had been tested to the end, I took my daddy's secret and I passed it on to him. I said, let me tell you a secret about a father's love, a secret that my daddy said was just between us. I said, daddies don't just love their children every now and then. It's a love without end. Amen. Last night, I dreamed I died and stood outside those pearly gates. When suddenly I realized there must be some mistake. If they knew half the things I'd done, they'd never let me in. And then somewhere from the other side, I heard these words again. And they said, let me tell you a secret about a father's love. A secret that my daddy said was just between us. You see, daddies don't just love their children every now and then. It's a love without end. Amen. It's a love without end. Amen. Happy Pappas Day. And amen.